How much did you get, Brother Josh? Not only some kids, preacher, your grandkids. Josh is putting them up to taking up money where Brother Donnie wouldn't preach too long tonight. I just must preach, you didn't get very much. I'll tell you what I will do. I know it's going to be a long week. I'll preach real fast. Y'all listen real fast. And if y'all get done before I do, I appreciate you hang around and let me finish. Yes. Amen. Amos chapter 3. The Bible says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when have no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord have not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who cannot prophesy? Publish in the palaces at Ashdod, in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up the violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore saith the Lord God, an adversary shall be even around about the land, and he shall bring down the strength, thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Verse 12 will be our text verse tonight. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd take out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of the bed and in Damascus in a couch. Lord, most gracious Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, you know my heart. I want to try to be a helping and a blessing to your people. God, I thank you for these people, Lord. No doubt by the time Thursday comes, they're going to be tired and weary. God, thank you for a good church. Lord, I ask you to help Brother Ken this week. Give him discernment, Lord, what you want done. Lord, once again, thank you, Lord, for the day you saved us and put us in a family. God, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I said verse 12 was our text verse. That word, it said there, thus saith the Lord. If you need the next three verses, it says, as the shepherd. It don't say as a shepherd. It says the shepherd. It's talking about the chief shepherd. It's talking about our Lord there. Said, take it out of the mouth of the lion, two legs or a piece of an ear. So shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of the bed in Damascus in a couch. That word taketh there, if you study it and look at it, it means to rescue, to recover, or to salvage. In other words, God's people done got themselves in a mess and they need to be rescued. Hey, how easy it is for you and I to do that. But if you look there, it gets down and it says there in that verse that there's two legs and a piece of an ear. If we look at that, it don't look like much to us. Hey, not worth recovery. Not worth rescuing. That's the way the world looks at us. When we get out there and we mess up, hey, that's the way a lot of people... Let me say this. Here's the sad part about it. There's a lot of God's people sitting in God's house. You let somebody mess up and get in sin, they're done with them. Hey, I'm glad we serve a God in heaven that's not done with us. Hey, he sees there's something left. Hey, that he can make use out of. Hey, He said the adversary, the Bible tells us about the adversary being sober, be vigilant, your adversary a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, let me tell you something. We got an enemy out there that's big and great. Hey, and he's just waiting for you and I to get weak, to fall behind. Hey, but I'm glad we got a shepherd tonight. My thought is salvaging what's left. But I tell you something, before we can get into that, how do we get in that such a mess? How do we get in a mess to where it looks like that we're no use as God's people, that God can't use us, that we're no good for nothing? Hey, look what it said in verse 1 and 2. It says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I have brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Yes. How'd they get in the mess, preacher? They didn't realize the privileges that they had. Right. Look what it said there. It said, you only. In other words, what God was saying, out of everybody on the old earth, the only ones I know, the only one I care about are you. Hey, they didn't realize their privilege. I was thinking about this today. Do you know what privilege you had to come to a great church like this? You could be down there somewhere in one of them liberal churches where the Word of God ain't been preached. Hey, you could be out there in one of them places that got all them laser lights shooting around and everything else going on. Hey, but it's a privilege, hey, that you got a good church to go to. You got a good pastor. That's one thing I love about this church. I've done seen it, don't matter who comes, hey, whether it's a lady or a man, there's about 15 or 20 people praying around them. That's a privilege you have. Hey, we have a privilege. It's a privilege to be a child of God. Hey, but if we ain't careful, we get taken that for granted. I love what your preacher says. Hey, we get to thinking we're too big for our britches. Hey, it's not too long till we find ourselves in a mess. Hey, they didn't realize the privilege that they had. Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there not be evil? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord have not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. They didn't even respond to the preaching. Look what it says, verse 7. But He reveals His secrets unto the servants of prophets. Do you know, since this whole thing's been put into existence, God's always had a man that He's going to tell what exactly is going to happen? And He wants that man to tell His people. Hey, there's all kind of examples in the Bible. Hey, before there was even a flood, God had done told Noah He was going to destroy everything. Hey, Brother Dean was talking about it this morning. Hey, before there's any people over there in Nineveh, He had done told Noah to go over there and preach to them that judgment was a-coming. Hey, Abraham, before Sodom and Gomorrah was took and destroyed with fire and brimstone, God had a man. God's always had a man, but our problem is we end up in the mouth of the lion because we ain't going to respond to no preaching. Hey, matter of fact, we don't want Him hearing no preaching. Say, preacher, how you know? I didn't see nothing in there. I didn't want no preaching. Back up chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He said, and I raised up your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Boy, don't we got that going on in our Baptist churches today? They don't want to hear no preaching. Hey, they'd rather have something sweet. Hey, they'd rather have something, Lord, entertainment or something. Hey, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. Hey, if you and I are going to stay out of trouble, and I did say you and I, we need preaching. Hey, and we don't only need preaching, hey, when it's preached and God gave it to a man that we need to respond to it. These people weren't even going to respond to preaching. Hey, they were more excited about something else. They turned a deaf ear to the Word of God. Then verse 10 in our text said, "For they know not to do right, saith the Lord." Hey, they didn't only realize their privileges and for not responding to the preaching, but they done got so bad they didn't even recognize they had a problem. In other words, isn't it funny, people will come to you and they'll start asking you a question, they'll say, "That is all right, ain't it, Brother Mike?" And there's nothing right about it. How come they don't know it's not right? Hey, they ain't been responding to the preaching. Hey, keep your place there. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. We're coming back there. Mark chapter 4. I said they did not know their problem. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, when you find your place. They did not recognize their problem. They drifted so far away from God. They didn't even know wrong from right. That's what the Bible said in verse 10 in our text. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Now, if I understand that right, God said if you got an ear and you hear, hey, that He gives every one of His people a measure, hey, and if they use that measure, hey, He's going to give them some more. Right. But the problem is in verse 25. "For he that have no, to him shall be given. For he that have not, from him shall it be taken, even that which he hath." In other words, when we used to respond to preaching, when we realized the privileges that we had, we had some discernment to know what was wrong and right. But now that we quit all that, matter of fact, we're not even responding to it. We don't come just Sunday morning. But now, since all that, God says, "I'm going to take away what I did give you, and you ain't even going to know what's right or wrong." I wrote this down over there this evening. Me and Brother Josh sitting there talking. I want y'all to understand something. There have been a lot of good churches, as good as Liberty Baptist Church, or even better, that they have them laser lights going on now. And all this other stuff. And you know why they got them? Because they couldn't get them to move for the preaching of the Word of God anymore. They're trying something else. Hey. They got to preaching their heart out every Sunday and every Wednesday night, and they turn around and nobody's responding, nobody's moving, so they say, "We got to do something else to get them to move." Hey. And that's how you and I end up in the mouth of the lion. Hey. Each and every one of us. Hey, if we're not careful, there ain't nobody too big to fall. Hey. God deluded their sermon. Hey, now they done got themselves in a mess. I'm glad that God, that we serve a God, although that we do mess up. I'm glad He's a God of second chances, third chances, 10 chances. I done messed up so many, Brother Josh. I done quit counting, and I ain't been in this very long. Hey, I'm just going to be honest with you. Hey, I'm pretty sorry Christian most of the time. Hey, and I know what you think and what our preacher got him up there for. Because I'm honest, the rest of you lying. Hey. We're all sorry. Each and every one of us. Well, we're no good. But I'm glad God sees something that we can use. Something He can use something with. Here's the message. We're going home. What can God salvage? Salvaging what's left. He can salvage what's left of your broken family. We got people sitting in our Baptist churches, their homes are falling apart. And it's a mess. You know, at one time, the divorce rate wasn't very high in our Baptist churches. And we can go back over some of the things we just talked about. And that's the reason why some of the divorces is happening. But we got people sitting in our Baptist churches, divorce rate's just about as high as the world's now. Hey, but I want to tell you something tonight. We serve a God in heaven that loves each and every one of us, and He can put our homes back together if we'll give it to God. I'm going to tell you something. The first time, a preacher, I hadn't been
called to preach probably 2 months. First big camp meeting I ever went to in North Carolina. I got to see God do something real, Brother Josh. There's a young lady on the first night come down about right in there somewhere. Several ladies went to her and prayed and stuff. And after church that night, I was talking to the preacher, and he said her husband left her about 2 months ago. So she's praying this week that God will do something, put her home back together. Now I'm talking about the first time as a young Christian, I got to see God do something. Meeting went on, come Thursday night. About halfway through the door, church service, the doors open up. Here come her husband down the aisle. He didn't stop where she was. He come right on down here. What I'm telling you tonight, there's nothing too hard for God. God can put our homes back together. And I'm going to say this. You don't have to be a Christian for God to put your home back together. Son, you're looking, I've told my testimony, I'm not going in, but you're looking at somebody 42 years old, nothing but a drunk and a dope head. My wife had thrown my clothes out. Hey, I deserved it, Brother John. I was no good. Son, February the 14th, 2004, I got born again. Son, God saved me. For the next 12 years, my daughter was raised in a Christian home. There's a preacher that loved God. No, I'm not perfect, but I've been pardoned. Yeah. God can put our homes back together if we give it to Him. We got so we don't think God's able to do it anymore. They sung a while ago. God said, I changed not. God's still the same. God can salvage. He can put our homes back together. Number two, God can salvage what's left of our broken fellowship. The Bible tells us over there that He's just, faithful, to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. We got people sitting in our Baptist churches, Brother Mike. They're no longer, they're coming to church. They're faithful to church. But they're no longer enjoying church. They're enduring church is all they're doing. The Bible said that Jesus came to give us life and give us life more than abundantly. We're a child of the King. We ought to be glad to come to the house of God. We ought to have David said to the psalmist, I was glad when they said, we got people sitting in our churches. Got the mully grubs. Their fellowship ain't right with God. Their fellowship ain't right with the children of God. And they're sitting there just going through the motions. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is willing to restore your fellowship. And let things get right. Now, I'm not going to stop right there. If there's somebody that's here and they do that and you don't like it, I don't care. And God don't care. You're the one not right if they get right. It's got so in our Baptist church, if somebody get out there and get in the mouth of the lion, they make a mess out of things, and then they come back and get right with God, we act like they ain't very spiritual. Act like, they're just as good as we are if they get right with God. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God can restore your fellowship. He can say, we got people sitting in our churches, and they're saying, Satan's sitting right there and saying, he's got no use for you anymore. You done went and made a mess out of things. Can I tell you what the Bible says about the devil? He's a liar. God loves us. And God wants to use us. We're just going to have to come to God and ask to give repentance. And get right with God. And God can use us. I'm glad He's a God of second and third chances. One of my favorite, I really don't like to call them stories, because if you're not careful, people getting thinking about stories on TV. But one of my favorite things is the prodigal son. The Bible says when he come back, afar off the father's city. Now I'm talking about getting your fellowship restored. The Bible said afar off when he seen him, the father ran to him. That tells me if we just make the first move. If we'll just make the first move, in other words, if we'll step out, we won't have to get right there. God will meet us about right there somewhere. God will restore our fellowship. He'll salvage our broken families. And lastly tonight, He can salvage what's left of our broken futures. We got paper people sitting in our Baptist churches. Like I said, they're just enduring them. They don't think God can use them, thinking they're no good anymore, over and over and over. If I understand my Bible right, God put in there that David was a man after his own heart after he done all that stuff. And everybody knows what David did. Hey, and God still, hey, salvaged what left of David. And all the good things you hear David done, he done after that. And what I'm here to tell you, now, I don't care what you done. I don't care how much you messed up. Hey, God can still use you. And God still wants to use you. But we're going to have to realize until we come to God and give it to God, it's going to be the same thing. Week after week and Sunday after Sunday, we're going to sit in the church and be miserable.
Yeah.
Hey, and God's all the time standing there saying, come.
Wow.
Saying, just come on. Hey, I don't know what's bothering you this week. Don't know what's bothering you tonight. Preacher, I'm done. Do whatever you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. We serve a God that loves us. Hey, and He's waiting for us to come to us. The decision is yours and mine. I'm going to tell you, that's what I like about God. He won't force you to accept Him as a Savior. He won't force you to get right. I mean, oh, that is judgment, I mean, to your iniquities. Hey, but He's not going to drag you up here. You're going to have to make your mind up that you want to start enjoying church. That you want to get back to where you used to be. With God and have that fellowship. Hey, if you're having a problem at your home, we serve God. They can put it back together. Hey, let's stand. Brother Josh, Brother Ken, come on. I'm done.